Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today's guest is Rabia O'Loren, and Rabia is from Rabia's Honey Nut Cakes. Rabia, when did you first start enjoying cooking and baking?
Always, except for that my mother, I don't think, ever did anything from scratch. As soon as I left home, it was only from scratch.
Did you have anybody else at home when you were younger to kind of steer you towards cooking?
No.
You just knew you enjoyed it.
Yeah. And mainly baking. I think I frequently made chocolate pudding, but that was probably about it.
So you've always enjoyed baking cakes and things.
Yeah.
And mostly baking and not as much cooking.
I think I like both. I just became more popular for my baking.
Mm-hmm.
I am part of that 7,000, 8,000 member Humboldt Foodies on Facebook.
Oh, okay. I've heard about
that. But only recently. I'm a vegetarian, so I don't do meat stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I posted some appetizers that I just, you know, got out of a magazine, the recipe the other day, that was a bruschetta or a crostini that had chèvre on the bottom. So toasted the bread, then mm-hmm. chèvre, then pear slices that had been sautéed in vinegar, butter, and honey.
Mm-hmm.
And then piled that on top with some toasted almonds and a little bit of fresh pepper.
Okay, if everybody hears something, it's my stomach growling. That sounds really good.
So I like doing appetizers. I've done lots of spreads for nonprofits.
Mm-hmm.
So whether it's my own nonprofit, the Roshni Center for Women, or whether it's been NPA or Bayside Ballet. So a little bit of both, but more in the direction of appetizers.
Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about the Roshni Center and how you got involved with that.
I was very curious in like 2004 about Pakistan because I had friends online from that country. And I thought, so, you know, you hear a lot in the media that's pretty negative. Let's go over and find out what it's like. So just kind of out of curiosity, I went to Pakistan. And after the first trip, I was eager to go again. And it was during the second trip that I saw a real need for women's centers. Had a few friends, Eric Shimps and Maggie Herbelin, who gave me enough money to get the center started over there. So
great. So what sorts of services are provided?
So we work with women and girls, education, healthcare, helping women become more independent so that they don't have to rely on a male family member for their, you know, living.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women's husbands were also killed in the time that the Taliban was in Swat Valley, which is where we work. And so it was basically a death sentence for them as well, because if the only person who can work is male and that person is gone, then you and your children are going to starve. So we work, like I said, with women empowerment. Together with another nonprofit now, which has really been a godsend, it's called Swat Relief Initiative, and it was started by the granddaughter of the last ruler of Swat Valley, Princess Sabu Jilani. And since she is from Swat Valley, she speaks the language, she knows the culture, the people love her, and so we work together.
Oh, that's great. How do the honey cakes fit in with the Roshni Center?
So when I was in Pakistan, I just basically asked the women, so how much money do you need to keep going at the rate of what we're doing? And they said, I think it was like $300. And I said, ah, gee, well, I could do that with a couple of bake sales a month. And so from 2007 until about 2012, twice a month in front of the Arcata Co-op, I had bake sales. And you can't reserve the spot there. So I would bake for like days on end beforehand and then get there at the crack of dawn so that I had the spot.
And people probably started to know that you were going to be there, so they'd almost,
And then I also got a little bit more gourmet. You know, like I would buy really pretty antique dishes that I thought, oh, well, this would look very nice on my bake sale table. And then let the food and the looks attract the people. I wasn't one of those persons that would stand there and call out to people as they walked by. I would let the food do that.
Uh-huh. Now, describe to people who don't know what one of these honey nut cakes looks like. Could you describe it for people?
Okay, well, someone once told me, and it's a perfect description, the honey nut cake tastes like a Greek baklava wrapped in a Scottish shortbread.
That is a perfect description because I have tasted it before.
Mm-hmm.
And you do some really beautiful, you brought us today one that says KHSU on it, and it's beautiful. How did you get turned on to this recipe? How did you find it?
I lived in Central Europe for about 20 years, like my early, very early adult years. The original recipe that I have kind of changed was from Switzerland. And so I just kind of tweaked it to work for me.
Uh-huh.
And now I don't really follow a recipe. I just, you know, throw in the ingredients, the amount that seems right.
It's one of those things my husband always says, that first bite, and then you think you want to eat a whole cake. And then as you work your way through that slice, it's so rich and satisfying.
The cakes themselves do not tempt me. But if I'm making, say, bars, which would be like in a 9x13 pan, and then I cut them out, then there are always edges that get cut off. And those edges, that's really tempting. So if you start, you just have like a little bite. Okay, well, another little bite. No, well, maybe a little bit
more. Well, you're actually cleaning up, aren't you? You're kind of like cleaning up all these crumbs and eating them and making them disappear. So it's a good thing.
You know, when I first came to Humboldt County or came back from Pakistan to Humboldt County, I put in resumes all over the place at bakeries. Right after applying, I was at the job market and I told the woman, you know, that I had applied at Los Bagels, and I told them about the honey nut cake at Los Bagels, and she said, well, take them in some. So I did take them in some. And then, you know, weeks later when I was told to come back, the first thing that they said to me, the owners, did you bring any of the honey nut cake? And I said, oh, was I supposed to? And they didn't hire me, but they did call again in like a week or two and say, well, they didn't actually give the job to anyone. They're still deciding if that's what they want to do. But they would really like to sell my honey nut cake there.
Ah.
And so then I started making, I would say from like November of 2006 maybe until like about February or March of 2007, I made honey nut cakes for Los Bagels to sell.
Oh, okay.
And
what
so
a great
that was a way
match.
For the community to become familiar with them. And then Kinetic Coffee was selling them for a while.
Uh-huh. Now, do you have a bakery that you bake in?
I have the home kitchen permit from the health department when you're selling directly to the customer. You have to have had like a food safety class, you know, some sort of proof that you're familiar with all of the dangers that lurk in the kitchen. And I did take the food safety class some time ago at CR. So I do have that. And each year I just, you know, renew my license.
Uh-huh.
And so I bake at home.
That has really opened up a lot of people to bring their items that they do so well to the public.
Because the honey nut cake is incredibly time consuming to make. And it's always a mixed blessing when people say that they like it because it takes a long time to make. I think I kind of geared one time, so one regular batch, maybe from start to finish about 7 hours or something.
Wow, that is a long time.
And so it's not really a super great moneymaker. So I make it for myself to help my income, usually like in December. And then other times I make it as a fundraiser for either the Roshni Center or NPA or whoever,
okay.
West Haven.
If people wanted to get a hold of you, if they wanted to buy
a
cake?
They can call me or email me. I do, you know, need like about a week's heads up if I'm around.
And what is your contact information?
So you can call me on my cell, which is 707-623-7374. If I'm around and you give me a week's notice, then I will make you a honey nut cake.
Okay. Well, this is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking today with Rabia O'Loren, and we're going to cut into that honey nut cake right now. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought.